As you look at the U.S. Army, it's a very high-tech organization. The kids next door, of course, gladly populate our ranks, and they demand high-quality, high-fidelity training. In fact, we owe it to them. When you look at the technology that we put on the battlefield today and the necessity to ensure the training is adequately presented, but more importantly, that those young men and women, as they go forward in these difficult missions, have the tools at their disposal to do the great things they've got to do.
All right, so you are offering what is called immersive training, and that sounds like simulators and so forth. What do you train people in, and what are they immersed in?
So one of the things that's changed in training is the addition of gaming technologies as well as very high fidelity virtual trainers. And when I look around on this floor at AUSA, you see incredible combat vehicles. And you ask yourself, how do you train a young man or woman these days to operate this complex equipment? Equipment, by the way, that's very expensive to operate. Well, you want to start with books, but you also want to go to virtual trainers at some point in time. Put them in simulators, because it's a lot cheaper for the U.S. government and the U.S. taxpayers to do that. And so Raytheon, my business, Global Training Solutions, we actually maintain, sustain, and operate over 250,000 of those training devices around the world for the U.S. Army.
So I guess then you could say that training for simulator-based training, which was only for aircraft, has come down to pretty much anything that moves because of the expense of moving them.
Tom, you're correct, and not only just for the vehicles, but also for, as an example, marksmanship training. We maintain and we operate for the U.S. Army engagement skills trainers, which are very realistic weapons that the soldier has to be competent on. The M4 carbine, as an example, or the pistol, and they're not real weapons, but they act like a real weapon. They provide the physical attributes of the weapon, and they even give the sound and the recoil of an actual weapon. But the trainee is shooting at a screen with very high fidelity. It's kind of like the best game that you've ever been in if you're into that sort of activity. And of course, a lot of these young men and women who we have in this great army today are into that.
Yeah, so it would be something familiar to them.
Right.
The idea of doing this.
Yeah. One of the things we've discovered, Tom, is that this generation, they are genuinely digital natives. They grew up on Xboxes and game technology, and so they take to this kind of training much quicker than, sadly, I have to admit, I'm a digital immigrant. It's not as easy for me. So that their recidivism or their ability to take the training on board is very quick, much quicker than others would be. And so we find it much more efficient to train them in this way.
All right, so they are trained then in things not just that move, but also things where you fire.
Absolutely. One of our things, by the way, we're really proud of in that regard, we train combat medics in a simulation environment. It's called the Mystic, and it's quite frankly a 3D theater. We take these young men and women in, put them into a very difficult situations. It's very realistic with virtual trainers.
Blood and guts realistic.
Yeah, absolutely. Blood and guts realistic. And they come out of there, those exercises, extraordinarily well trained. And of course, we also put them under great psychological stress in that environment, which is, quite frankly, part of the task and skill set that a combat medic must have. You don't want that combat medic for the first time dealing in a situation like that in real life, and we make sure that they don't. And I'm convinced that our work in that area has saved thousands of lives in the last 10 years.
We're speaking with Bob Williams. He's the Vice President of Global Training Solutions at Raytheon. And how do you ensure that the experience that one gets in a simulator has fidelity to the real-life experience? How do you get the feedback or the closed loop such that you can keep refining the simulation environment so that it actually matches the reality?
Yeah. Well, certainly we at Global Training Solutions work with the Programming Executive Office for Simulation Training down in Orlando. So PEO STRI is our primary customer. And they have standards, they have requirements they send to us. And, of course, in the development of those simulations, there's soldiers involved in that. And as you well know, as all of us well know, we have a whole population of soldiers in our Army today. They've all been to war. They all know what right looks like, or in this case, what real combat looks like. And so we solicit their activities, their feedback, as we build and the other OEMs build these kinds of devices for us.
All right, so where is all this headed, the whole immersive training idea? It sounds like it saves a lot of money, for one thing.
I'd like to say it has the potential to save lots of money, but it does require investment. One of the things the PEO struggles with today is the vast majority of our current simulation devices, our virtual trainers, are really 30 years old with a whole host of patches, if you will, and updates that have been put onto them. And so, budgets being what they have been, the war, there haven't been significant investments in those training devices, and they need that. It's time to do a reset of our training devices for the country. And of course, as you see, these great devices and weapons on the floor that are the future in some cases, there's going to be training associated with those, and there's going to be virtual trainers, gaming technology, synthetic environments that are going to be created to help the soldiers and develop the skills necessary so that they are prepared for the next conflict.
Now, the Army is looking at a next generation of helicopters. They're looking at next generation of troop mobility vehicles. They're looking at the next generation of ground combat vehicles. Are they developing the simulators and simulation software alongside the development of the devices themselves?
Absolutely, that is what it should be, and the Army is planning to do that. There has to be a reset of all of those devices as these new pieces of equipment come on board, because obviously they're nothing but hard equipment without the trained operators to use them.